Our forum, Science and Democracy, takes place against the background of contested meanings of both democracy and science. The World Social Forum rejects the subordination of democracy to capital and the market that is found today in dominant institutions and nations that are called democratic. Hence its signature aphorism, another world is possible, a social order that more genuinely reflects the historical ideal of democracy, in part because it is neither realizable nor definable apart from the aspirations and collaborative actions of the social movements and their allies. Likewise, I believe we can aspire to another way of conducting science, one that contests the current tendency for mainstream scientific practices to go along with the commoditization of science, and at the same time that responds more completely to the historical ideals of science. Ideals such as serving common human interests, the commons, objectivity, and this includes rejecting the notion that the criteria for evaluating scientific knowledge are culturally relative, and also scientific autonomy. I have four proposals. My first proposal is that both democracy and science have been diminished by being subordinated to capital and the market. And the emancipation of democracy and science, the quest for another world and another way of conducting science, must go hand in hand. Commoditized science subverts the historical ideals of science. Scientific knowledge is being used primarily for the benefit of commercial and military interests, rather than for the common interests of mankind and to address the needs of the poor. And the priorities of research are being shaped increasingly by these special interests. In order to further techno-scientific innovation that is integral to economic growth, without adequate attention being paid to its environmental, human, and social consequences, to pollution and global warming, for example, to the untreated sicknesses of the poor, genetic abnormalities, psychological pathologies, and spiritual malaise, to undermining the human rights of poor peoples. My second proposal is, therefore, that in the light of both the aspirations of the World Social Forum and commitment to the traditional ideals of science, science needs to be reinstitutionalized with democratic participation and oversight in order to redirect the uses of scientific knowledge and the priorities of research. I'm well aware that here there will be disagreements among us that are well worth discussing forthrightly and respectfully. Some people here reject the traditional values of science, regarding them merely as ideological baggage, and others think that only the uses and priorities of science need to change. My third proposal lies between these two. It is that the reinstitutionalized science needs to embody a different conception of science and incorporate a variety of currently marginalized methodologies. Today, mainstream science tends to be identified with technoscience, that is, research conducted with the horizon of technological innovation in view. The methodologies of technoscience deploy a mode of understanding of phenomena that focuses upon their underlying molecular structure, physiochemical mechanisms, mathematical form, and quantifiable properties, and it consequently enables discovery of the possibilities of exercising technological control. But in so doing, they decontextualize the phenomena by ignoring their ecological, human, and social contexts, and in the case of biological and human phenomena, reduce them to their underlying physicochemical mechanisms. No phenomena can be understood without some use of decontextualized reductionist methodologies. But if only they are used, some phenomena cannot be understood. For example, risks, especially long-term ecological and social risks of technoscientific innovations. Alternative practices, such as agroecology, that are not primarily based on using technoscientific innovations. and phenomena that cannot be reduced to their underlying physico-chemical mechanisms, such as biological organisms, ecological systems, human intentional action, and social structure. To investigate these phenomena, one must use methodologies that have been marginalized in mainstream science, that do not decontextualize or reduce. The reinstitutionalized science needs to decide research priorities with this broader array of methodologies in mind. Otherwise, the well-intentioned question, how can technoscientific innovation be used to serve the needs of the poor, will be addressed without the input of knowledge about alternatives, risks, and so on, that is essential for democratic participation and oversight. But of course, this question does need to be addressed. Yet even more important, my fourth proposal is that it is more fundamental that there be space in the reinstitutionalized science to begin with the aspirations and practices of the social movements, and to involve their participation in an integral way. That there should be space where the forms that science takes and the kinds of questions it addresses can be determined in collaboration with the social movements and reflect their values and experiences. Let me give a very brief example of what I have in mind. The international movement, Via Campesina, has emphasized the right to food security for poor peoples and argued that food sovereignty, as distinct from corporate domination of agriculture, is the best way to ensure and safeguard it. This raises a wide range of issues for scientific investigation. One, what is the evidence supporting this claim about food sovereignty? Crucial evidence here can only come from the experience of farmers themselves, for their experience speaks to the many-dimensional obstacles posed by industrial agriculture and to the time-tested successes of non-industrial alternatives. Two, what forms of agricultural production better serve to consolidate food sovereignty? And not necessarily one method, perhaps a multiplicity of complementary methods, each adaptable to its social ecological environment. Three, what is the role of indigenous and traditional knowledge in informing these practices? Questions like these are downplayed when science, as in technoscience, is conducted only with decontextualized reductionist methodologies. Instead, science, I contend, should be thought of as systematic empirical inquiry responsive to the ideal of objectivity, conducted using whatever methodologies are appropriate for gaining understanding of the objects being investigated. Then, technoscience is just one approach to science, an important and indispensable one, and indigenous knowledge does not stand opposed to scientific knowledge, but can be interpreted as scientific knowledge that does not stand opposed to scientific knowledge, but can be interpreted as knowledge gained using different and appropriate methodologies from mainstream science. In principle, as well as knowledge gained from feminist, deep ecological, and other perspectives, lacks nothing compared to them in its epistemic credentials. In the proposed reinstitutionalizations, social movements will be part of some of the practices of scientific research, and not only of its oversight, and in a way that embodies both objectivity and belonging to the common patrimony of humankind. Having said that, I recognize the hard work then has to begin as to how to work this all out in practice, and how to resolve the disagreements we may have about it, and how we come together to figure out what way we wish to organize for the future. Thank you.